Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. And we are broadcasting from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains, Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio with us today. As we come back to Jesus' admonition in Matthew chapter 18, if anybody offends one of the little ones who believes in me, it would be better for him that a millstone be hanged around his neck and he be drowned at the bottom of the sea. Jesus is dead serious on protecting the little ones. And Bill, I think as Christians, as Christian fathers, as Christian pastors, as Christian leaders, we need to be especially concerned about the way that Hollywood, the way that our government schools, the way that our organizations are addressing children and treating our children spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And when they begin to introduce abominable things into their schools, their training institutes, and such, in terms of how they treat our children, we need to be exceedingly careful with this and take Jesus's warning seriously.
That's what nearly drove me out of teaching when I was teaching in the public schools back in Illinois. I knew the Bible well enough to know that I was not doing what I was supposed to do, but I felt compelled, constrained, if you will, from proclaiming truth and grace in the classroom. And that put me in a bind. And that warning, it'd be better if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were tossed in the ocean, that nearly drove me out of teaching.
Yeah.
And it forced me, it eventually led me to understand what my liberties are as a Christian public school teacher, and then to begin to exercise those liberties in teaching, not indoctrinating, in educating, not rather than indoctrinating. But what we're seeing today, teachers, basically public school teachers who claim Christ, most of them are enablers. They're enabling the system to continue rather than standing up and saying, this is wrong. And one of the examples of this is the whole transgender issue, the whole LGBTQIRSMNOPQRSTUVWXYZ.
Thanks.
Thanks for helping me out there.
And things are far worse than they were in the 1980s when you were teaching in public schools.
Yep.
They did not have transgendered bathrooms back then. Things are by orders of magnitude worse today.
That term didn't exist in anybody's lexicon.
That's right. So it's time to wake up frogs in the slowly boiling water. And on this program, we have been warning people of Disney. We've been warning people of the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts for about 14 years. And we were the organization that warned families about the Girl Scouts and the lesbian influence and the pro-abortion, pro-Planned Parenthood influence that the Girl Scouts have maintained over decades. And it's time now to wake up and smell the napalm in the war of the worldviews, my friends. Christians have largely abandoned the Girl Scouts, thankfully, and they have abandoned the Boy Scouts for their promotion of sexual practices referred to as abominable in the Word of God. And we're thankful for that. American Heritage Girls, Trail Life for Boys, these organizations have largely displaced the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, and Christians are abandoning the transgendered, pro-homosexual, abominable organizations like the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, and we're thankful for that. But now it's 4-H, Bill. It's 4-H.
What?
Now the transgender crowd and the pro-homosexual politically correct crowd today is moving towards the 4-H organizations.
Are you talking about coming
into the heartland?
So it's for animals who want to be transgendered. They're advocating for that
so that
they can have bathroom, two different pastures for cows who are transgender.
Sheep
can go to.
As far as we know, the animals are fine with their genders. It's the humans we're concerned with.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the humans that have the problem. Humans have the sin problem. The animals seem to have figured it out. But now, as of March 4th, 2018, the United States Department of Agriculture has issued a new set of guidelines for the 4-H programs around the country. And I got this letter from Kathy in Idaho. She says, I'm a leader in a 4-H club in a small North Idaho town. Recently, our group became aware of the USDA document called 4-H Guidance for Inclusion of Individuals of All Gender Identities, Gender Expressions, Sexual Orientations, and Sexes, which was available on the USDA website, which, by the way, occurred under the administration of a Republican, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't there a Republican president now serving? I believe so. Anyway, under the Republican administration of Donald Trump, we now have this USDA document called 4-H Guidance for Inclusion of Individuals of All Gender Identities, Gender Expressions, Sexual Orientations, and Sexes. According to Kathy, she says our club leader confronted our extension office with this document, which covers everything from bathrooms to pronoun usage and is a clear violation of First Amendment rights. During the discussion, they suggested she would have to step down if she did not conform. And that's Idaho. You thought Idaho was, you know, somewhat conservative, especially the Idaho 4-H clubs. You'd think that in the heartland of Idaho, there would be something of a conservatism left. I'm afraid not.
So so I shouldn't go up and buy a bunker up in Idaho?
I guess not. I guess not. This, according to Kathy, is national issues, this attempt to push the LGBTQ agenda on rural America via our children. And anyway, just this morning, another article from WND said this has infected Iowa as well. So Idaho and Iowa now infected by this same problem. The imposition of transgender bathroom policy throughout 4-H in Iowa, a solidly red state which strongly supported Donald Trump in the 2016 presidential election, is imminent, according to this article. Indeed, Iowa 4-H's March 21st, 2018 news items bulletin leads with an action item headlined National 4-H Guidance for Inclusion to be Adopted, and announced that Iowa 4-H plans to adopt the USDA NIFA National 4-H Guidance for Inclusion of All Gender Identities, Gender Expressions, Sexual Orientations, and Sexes, and so forth and so on. So that's the direction Iowa's going. That's the direction Idaho has gone. And friends, what the government funds, the government controls. Remember, the National 4-H receives over $10 million in grants from the federal government, at least in 2016, according to my recent research. And the local extension offices that govern the 4-H organizations in the respective states are funded by the university slash the federal government. So keep that in mind, what the government funds, the government controls. And if the government has adopted Obergefell, the official policy of the United States federal government is the most abominable possible sin you could ever imagine. If that is what is being promoted by the U.S. federal government, of course, the dollars will insist that the masses that receive something of a benefit from those dollars conform to the policies set by the Supreme Court of the United States that enabled the neuronic agenda and the marriage of a man to a man and a woman to a woman. So, friends, we're looking at an organization that is largely funded by the government, coordinated by the federal government, United States Department of Agriculture. And for that reason, you will be subjected to the rules. I think this is going to happen in all 50 states, Bill.
They're going to have to change their pledge. You know, the 4-H pledge? The four H's stand for head, heart, hands, and health. Here's the pledge. I pledge my head to clearer thinking. Well,
that's going to have to change.
Mm-hmm. My heart to greater loyalty. That's got
to
change.
Certainly not to God.
My hands to larger service.
It's not going to work.
And my health to better living. I doubt that what the neuronic agenda is better living.
And that ain't going to happen with the transgender surgeries required.
No, you're not going to
get better living by that means.
No. For my club, my community, my country, and my world.
All right. Well, sadly,
notice my family's not in.
Sadly, there's no reference to God either.
No.
Well, that's a problem. Well, we'll be back with more in just a moment in the Generations broadcast as we address this issue. Should Christians abandon 4-H now? That's the question on this edition of the Generations broadcast. There is nothing our nation and our families need more than the Word of God. Do you want to build a family that will stand? Jesus said the wise man built his house upon the rock of Jesus' own words, and his house stood through the raging storms of wind and flood. In a world where families are coming apart at the seams, where there is little generational faith continuity, let's build our families on the rock of God's word every day. Generations is sponsoring the Bible Family Conference on August 10th and 11th in Washington, D.C. with speakers Ray Comfort, Ken Ham, Steve Green, Joel Beakey, Douglas Bond, and yours truly, Kevin Swanson. We have organized tours that will feature this nation's biblical Christian roots, and we have secured tickets to the new 430,000-square-foot Bible Museum. Take your family through this museum and check out a huge collection of Bible artifacts, amazing archaeological discoveries, and a Bible in American History exhibit. It's the ultimate family vacation to Washington, D.C. this August. The Bible Family Conference happens the week of August 7th, sponsored by Generations.org. Register at Generations.org. That's Generations.org. it back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, Bill Jack also in studio, as we consider a question for hundreds of thousands of Christian families around the country who participate in 4-H, which, by the way, has been in the past one of the most wholesome activities for families across this country. And now 4-H looks to be infiltrated by the forces of evil, the forces of darkness. Let's just say what it is. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. No question. There's spiritual wickedness in high places. These incredibly centralized power systems, as in the United States federal government, the United States Department of Agriculture, is influenced by demonic principalities and powers. I mean, come on. If Satan exists, is he going to show up in Washington, D.C.? And by the way, you talk to just about any Christian legislator, any Christian congressman, you say, is there any demonic influence whatsoever in Washington, D.C.? You know what they'll tell you is?
They don't even have to think about it.
The headquarters.
Yep.
Headquarters for satanic influence. So, yeah, if you're going to be free from big government, friends, you're going to have to forfeit the big government dollars and big government-controlled educational programs. I'm here to tell you, you're just going to have to get out from under the principalities and powers. The 4-H programs are nicely tied into liberal public universities and the federal government funding sources. It's been the federal government funding these programs in 1862 public land-grant universities for a very, very long time. Is the cause for liberty is hopeless as long as these systems are all tied up with these politically correct, powerful systems that insist upon a submission to the policy set by the United States Supreme Court back in 2015, as Obergefell made an impact on a nation. Obergefell was a decision made by the United States Supreme Court that absolutely required that the United States government respect the marriage of a homosexual to a homosexual. And friends, this was a radical decision. Let's say the Supreme Court of the United States decided that there was no proton in the atom. Would that affect every educational institution funded by the United States federal government for the next 20, 30, 40 years, as long as that law held effect? Of course it would. Now, you'd say, what does the Supreme Court of the United States have to say about chemistry? Well, I'm asking the question, what does the Supreme Court of the United States have to say about marriage? How in the world can a couple of black-robed men and women assume the power to redefine marriage as established by God Almighty 6,000 years ago?
It's not just marriage. It's the human nature. It's the nature of man.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about whether he's good or bad. I'm talking about his purpose. What is the nature? What is the purpose of man? And it is laid out in Scripture. A man shall leave his parents, cleave to his wife. And the purpose of marriage is procreation. The purpose of marriage is to raise a godly seed. And now what's happened is they have made that decision. It filters down. Listen to what Wikipedia says that the purpose of 4-H is, and put it in light of what we've just been talking about and see if it doesn't create shivers down your spine.
Go.
The purpose of 4-H, number one, offers youth a safe, healthy, caring, an enriching environment. Number two, engages youth in long-term structured learning in partnership with adults. And number three, addresses the interests of youth and their physical, cognitive, social, and emotional needs. Now, who would want to pounce on that except those who are predators of children?
Yeah.
They want to find a way to get in there and distort and pervert the whole purpose of things like 4-H.
Precisely what's happened with Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. Friends, of course, the homosexuals are going to want to get involved with this. Okay, now, here's the other takeaway, and this brought out by Kathy from Idaho. She's concerned that this is affecting the heartland. This is coming into the rural areas. And, you know, I think the impression people have is you've moved to the rural counties, you're going to be safe from some of the city influences. And that's not true anymore. That's not true. 5 years ago, Follow Your Arrow came out and received all the accolades of the American Country Music Awards Association. And that's Casey Musgraves, pro-homosexual, popular country song. And again, my friends, the Heartland's been corrupted for a long time. Remember, the Heartland has given way to homosexuality 5 years ago. The zeitgeist has swept through the Heartland big time. I remember traveling through South Dakota a number of years ago, maybe this would have been like 12 years ago, and come across some teeny weeny little town out in the middle of nowhere. And you'd have a mom and pop grocery, you'd have a gas station, and a tattoo parlor. Okay, so the point being that if you think that somehow the Heartland has been exempted from the media, no, the media has been just as influential in Nowhereville, Oklahoma, as it has been in Denver, Colorado. Is that clear? It's the pop culture is affecting the young people around the world in rural areas just as much as the city. Why? Because, friends, they've got access to internet. They've had access to cable television for, what, 32 years. So come on, my friends. Media is just as influential in the Heartland as it is anywhere else in this country. The pop media is incorporating its ideas into the minds and hearts of just about every single person in this country who has access to a television set and the internet because it has an omnipresent feel across this country. I remember my son took a trip down out to the Amazon into some far away village out in the Amazon, you know, small little huts, Bill, dirt floors in these little cottages, and a nice big old 50-inch color television set. I don't know how they got the electricity out there, but they apparently did. So I'm just telling you, my friends, the media has its hands everywhere, and if it's going to train the next generation to be pro-homosexual, pro-incest, pro-bestiality, or whatever comes next, it's going to have access to the masses because they're plugged into the media. The media is influential just about everywhere today, and American institutions have been corrupted by the abominable sin of homosexuality, and it's as bad as racism. Remember Woodrow Wilson, the president of the United States, enforced his evolutionary and racist policies and perspectives, introducing discrimination to civil service and government agencies. Remember where African-Americans had to use a different coffee pot and different restrooms? That was all imposed by the most powerful institutions in the land. And it was taken for granted. Evolutionary racism, that is, some races more important, more powerful, more of a right to survive than other races. This eugenics idea was pretty much mainstream in the 1920s, thanks to Woodrow Wilson and powerful people. Well, now homosexuality is being embraced, just like evolutionary racism was embraced in the 1920s. And children were taught evolutionary racism in the schools in the 1920s and 1930s. Now children are being taught homosexuality in the schools just because the most powerful forces in the country are imposing these ideas upon the masses. Now, we reject Woodrow Wilson big time. We've been speaking against Woodrow Wilson for a very long time in this program. We've rejected his evolutionary racism. Amen.
Amen. Bill,
thank you. And we reject Obergefell.
Amen.
We reject the ideas of those powerful people in this country because they have it wrong. They reject God's truth in the book of Genesis. They reject God's truth in Acts 17, where God made all people of one race, one race, one race, one race.
We're all one blood.
We're one blood. That's right.
There's actually, Kevin, there's actually two races. I hate to correct you here, but there's two races. There's the redeemed and there's the unredeemed.
All right. All right. Okay. Well, thank you. But yeah, in terms of just, you know, genetics.
Yes. There's a human race. It's a human race.
Single race. Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, so we reject Woodrow Wilson and we reject the Supreme Court of the United States. Why? Because of Romans 1. 1 Corinthians 6, Leviticus 18, if a man lies with another man, he has committed an abomination, and both shall be put to death. Okay, the Word of God is very, very clear that these sins are sins. They're sins against God. They're abominable, immoral practices taken on by men and women who are proud and arrogant. They say they are, and they're so proud and arrogant they will shake their fist in the face of Almighty God and oppose His law systems.
They say, "You don't define us; we define ourselves." You know, I'd like to go back to that. if the government passed a law saying that a proton is not part of the atomic structure anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what they're
doing.
What
would you say? Would you conform to that, Bill?
No.
Why not?
No. Because it's absurd.
Because it's wrong.
And it's wrong. Yeah, exactly. And so is this. Just because the government or an educational institution says doesn't make it right. And we have to stand up and say this is wrong. We have to train our children to follow God's word, because this is what it is. The culture is redefining terms, and we are allowing them to redefine the terms rather than standing up and calling for righteousness and justice and truth.
So what do Christians do? Do Christian families do?
You do not participate in Boy Scouts. You do not participate in Girl Scouts. You do not participate in 4-H. You do not participate in the secular educational system of our country. And I would question whether or not you want to send your student to a land-grant university.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we need to ask a question. Should Christians send their children into these institutions, whether it's kindergartens, whether it's 4-H organizations endorsing sex changes, transgenderism, transspeciesism, homosexuality, incest, interspecies mating, as in what happens with Star Trek?
This is what's going to happen with the 4-H.
I hope it doesn't.
They're going to follow that path, and it's going to be bestiality is going to be toyed with and then endorsed eventually.
So the question, my friends, is are you going to send your kids into 4-H as they give way to these abominations? Will you do that? I'm challenging parents on this issue. Now, you have three choices. Your first choice is to equip your 7-year-old child to oppose the ideas and to walk in there and cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ.
Good luck with that one.
The second approach is just to not equip your 7-year-old to oppose these ideas and just let whatever happens to your kids and send them off into these organizations.
Good luck with that one.
The third option is to take your 7-year-old child out of these programs, separate yourselves from the public schools, the Boy Scouts, 4-H, everything that the community is doing out there that is standing in opposition to the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. So again, my friends, what are you going to do? You've got three choices here. Are your children really ready to interact with the tough ethical issues of the day? Do you sit your 7-year-old down and explain to your 7-year-old kid all about interspecies mating or all about homosexuality or transgenderism, what the biblical law says about these things? Do you really want to address these sins with your children? Now,
because if you're not willing to do that and you send them to 4-H, they will do it, and they will pervert and distort the truth about the nature and purpose of not only man, but nature and animals, and you better be ready for that discussion when they come back home.
And you may be subjecting yourself to the millstone treatment, so be careful there as well. But do you really want to introduce these sins to your children? Now, we talk about the innocence of children. I think what we should be talking about is the tenderness of children.
Mm.
Even the skin of a little baby is tender. You know, their emotional situation is tender. Their spiritual situation is tender. You don't throw your child out into the battlefield in Afghanistan because they're just not ready to face the horrors of war and interpret what goes on by means of a biblical framework. They're just not ready for that. I hope that the average American family listening to this program would agree with me that you don't send a 6-year-old child out into the battlefield in Afghanistan.
But you as the adult are to take that responsibility on. And so what you need to do is go into the 4-H system as an adult and challenge this and reclaim and redeem this, but do not sacrifice your child.
That's right. And so as adults, yes, we have an obligation to address and to cast down imaginations in every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ. It opposes the truth of God's word, and we should oppose them at every point at which they oppose God's word and God's truth. Now, let me give you just a couple of guidelines as you address these things as well as adults. We need to be careful. Even your college kids walking into a thoroughly secularized world, you need to ask yourself a couple of questions. Is more of them rubbing off on the Christian than the Christian rubbing off on the others? Is the Christian being impacted, influenced by the ideas out there? In other words, are they in the institution in order to affect and to influence that institution, or is that institution supposed to affect them? Is that institution supposed to be inculcating a certain form of knowledge in the student attending the college? So again, we need to be asking ourselves these basic questions. And by the way, you don't spend too much time thinking on the negative. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You spend too much time in the world. You spend too much time in worldly media, worldly battles, without dwelling on the redemptive work of Christ. It's just depressing. Let's say that you lived all by yourself in a house with 25 porn addicts or 25 drug addicts. Okay, people hopelessly attached to bondage. You might forget that Jesus sets the captives free if you're not preaching it 7/24s constantly. You see what I'm saying? You've got to be somewhat cautious that you're not having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It could be very, very dangerous. Why? Because evil company corrupts good morals, and that's 1 Corinthians 15. Constant bad input into your mind will corrupt your perspectives. And you will not dwell on whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, meditate upon these things. If you are submerging yourself into a system of thinking, a life in which Jesus is not at the center of it, if you're living in a house with 25 porn addicts, my guess is that you're probably going to be taken down. So be careful. Be ever so careful. I mean, sometimes we think that we can handle any kind of environment, but if you're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is out there to set the captives free from these dreadful sins of pornography, of homosexuality, and of all these other sins that drag us down, if you're not taking down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ, my guess is you're going to be absorbed into that which is evil. So be careful.
I got a glimpse of this just this past week during Holy Week. On Wednesday of Holy Week, I testified before the Colorado House Judiciary Committee on a bill called the Live and Let Live Bill, which would have relieved people of conscience from participating in events that were a violation of their conscience. For example, same-sex unions, business owners, or adoption agencies, or just individuals who did not want to participate in that. And I sat in the hearing room for 3.5 hours while a parade of depravity marched in and testified against this particular bill. There were transgender lawyers, homosexual activists, the ACLU, the Anti-Defamation League, Chamber of Commerce, several pastors of LGBT-friendly congregations. There was the Interfaith Alliance. There was a Sikh. There was even a lesbian rabbi, and they were all vilifying the bill and those who were sponsoring the bill. And those business owners, those individuals, the adoption agencies who want to provide goods or services in accord with their Christian dictates and a biblical worldview, their testimony, which was in Christ alone, their testimony was scorned by the ones that Jesus came to save. That their testimony was just vilified. And I can't describe completely the parade of human depravity that testified against that bill. Because you would not, you would accuse me of exaggeration, Kevin. And then come Sunday morning, I'm standing in the back of my church watching people stand with lifted hands singing that same song, "In Christ Alone, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand." And I witnessed the distinction between man's kingdom and God's kingdom.
Yeah.
I witnessed the distinction between a secular worldview and a biblical worldview in those few days. And I was a witness on the one hand to a throng of very humble, grateful souls celebrating the living Christ, while on the other hand, I got a glimpse into a lawless mob calling for the end of righteousness, liberty, and justice. And I want those two scenes seared in my mind, because I need to be able to say to people, this is where the battle is. you cannot immerse yourself just in the state house, listening to things that were once whispered by adults away from children's ears, which were publicly scorned and shamed not but a few decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just immerse yourself in that. You have to remember that Christ is still on his throne.
Amen.
It is in Christ alone. But we cannot retreat from culture.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot sacrifice our children to culture. We have to stand and proclaim truth and grace. And that's why we do what we do at Worldview Academy. That's why you do what you do. That's why we do what we do at Worldview at the Abbey, and training students to think and live in accord with the biblical worldview.
Well, we are in the middle of a gigantic battle, and you may ask the question, how did we get to where we are today with the 4-H, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts being utterly corrupted by the absolute worst, most degraded forms of society? And the answer is really presented in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. It really gives the entire history of it. So, friends, if you want to know how we got to where we are, if you are somewhat the frogs in the slowly boiling water and you just want to know how we got to 211 degrees Fahrenheit, grab a copy of my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, brand new edition, just hot off the press, with new chapters available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generation.org. Get a copy of Apostate for yourself, for your college-aged kids or your high school-aged kids, and for your grandchildren, of course, as well. Be sure to get a copy of Apostate for those who you want to instruct in the basics of a biblical worldview. And that book is available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.